Okay, today we are finishing up our little series on homeschooling because I saw so many questions in the Facebook homeschooling groups. So we did, when should I start homeschooling? And what should I do if I have already started my children in government schools, and how should I start homeschooling in that case? And then I did one about testing, because these parents have questions about placement, but I also know there are a lot of questions about other kinds of tests, particularly in terms of diagnoses for learning problems and so forth. So a quick overview of all kind of testing should help you. And today we're going to talk about STEAM leaves out history and civics and why that is so wrong and why history and civics are so important. And along the way, I tell you some of my stories that I think you will find very instructive. Thank you for letting me tell them. Okay, so before we jump into that, please go to the website at overcominglearningproblems.org and get the, I like to say, the whole enchilada, but of course it has nothing to do with Mexican food. It's a whole protocol for a year. One size fits all mom level protocol to address what you do if your child has some sort of learning problem. And I think that you'll find that educating your child at home with whatever method that your child needs is going to be a great relief and certainly a great deal of prevention. So maybe we should talk about that for a whole episode, but I don't know of a case where the general situation of the government schools didn't exacerbate, or possibly it's argued even cause, academic problems. So, yes, you can get whole enchiladas for tens of, well, yeah, I don't even know if it's tens of thousands of dollars for a lot of money. But, and if you go to a provider, they will sell you what they sell. So I think this is a great protocol, not just for people who don't have the money, but in conjunction with whatever you're buying from a professional provider. Okay, so I strongly encourage a very inexpensive mom level protocol, and I think that you'll want to use it again and again. So you want to go through it, and it'll be a big life change the first year, but it will be good maintenance in future years. So all you have to do is go to the website at overcominglearningproblems.org, and you'll see the front pages now about this. And you can click through, and you can buy the episodes, and I have a lot of bonus episodes that you have heard, but you have not heard the protocol episodes. That's what you're buying, the bonus you've been given for buy. Okay? And I will see you later after we talk about history and civics. Okay, so I interrupted what I said I was going to do in terms of my agenda, and I have finished up health, and I was going to go into a whole series on thinking skills, but I saw so many pitiful questions on Facebook that I just had to address. So this is going to be my last one probably on homeschooling. And this came kind of in an opposite way from a question. It occurred to me with all this talk about STEM and STEAM, so you understand science, technology, engineering, and math, and with the A, it's art. Okay, so now we have whole schools built and curricula built around STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and math. Well, all those are good things, but what is left out there? English, which includes both literature and rhetoric, grammar and rhetoric. Yes, that's completely left out. And I substituted in a classical school in the first grade class because they stood up and sang grammar song, knew more grammar than my college students. And history. I'd already told you that, how I organized my daughter's classes, that I started with history book. And I am more and more and more convinced that that is what is missing in our education. We have missed history, and therefore we have no context and no civics. Now, in Texas, because of the Leaper decision, 1987 in Tarrant County and 1994, 9-0 by the Texas Supreme Court, that's the Leaper decision, parents in Texas to privately educate at home their children. The Leaper decision said that there must be reading, writing, math, and civics, and a written plan to teach. Okay. Civics is required in homeschooling. Why isn't required in government schools? Well, given the abundant and unimaginable news today, I'm willing to think that it is intentional in order to bring down not just our culture, but our government, right? We need history. And I have certainly seen for years that the history, the faculty is not hired for history expertise. They'll put a coach teaching history. I know of a municipality close to me, they have done that forever. And their kids come out deficient. All right. But the history textbooks also are terrible. Terrible. All right. So I was helping out a supposedly classical school, a Christian school here. And the headmaster specifically asked me to help bring up the academic level of that school. And I was tasked with teaching the junior and senior level history. And I got a textbook, which was a college level textbook, but we would only take half of it for one semester and half of it for the second semester, in World History, Western Civ. So fine textbook, pretty much, certainly in terms of level. But the students had had through medieval, and this textbook started with the Enlightenment. Okay, so medieval period through what? 1200, 1300? And Enlightenment starts when? 1700s? Maybe 1600s. What happened in Europe between the medieval period and the Enlightenment? Can you just leave it out of your textbook? Can you just leave it out of students' learning? And why would you do that? Well, if you don't know, the answer is the Protestant Reformation happened. This was pivotal to understanding everything that came after in Europe. And if you speak English, even more is this vital, essential, crucial to understanding Yeah, so Calvin was in 1500. And then you had the Glorious Revolution, and you had Cromwell, and not that order. And the American Revolution cannot be understood without understanding the Protestant Reformation. And even if you speak German, you know, need to know about Luther. Come on, come on, come on. You cannot start with the Enlightenment, Western Civ. No, oh, I'm sorry. So I made my own chapter. So we read about the Reformation. Okay, Christian classical school. And then we started reading about the Enlightenment. And this author, well-known professor, told us how Descartes and Pascal and Newton, several other figures, were all atheists. Oh, really? And how the Enlightenment was there to prove that God didn't exist. I mean, he really said they were all atheists. Okay, so I photocopied a page from Descartes, passed it out, introduced the students to Descartes, gave a book list of Newton, passed that out.
Maybe Kant too, don't remember.
I said, now does Descartes look like an atheist to you? Clearly, oh, clearly not. How about Newton? Was he an atheist? Oh, clearly not. Okay, let's go back to our textbook on page such and such. So-and-so, would you read us paragraph 2? All atheists. They all look at me. And then light bulbs went on in their head. I said, what does Professor so-and-so say? What did you read? I said, you have just learned that original sources are very important. You have just learned that textbooks are not always correct. Now let me also tell you, when you go to college, how are you going to handle this? This is how you talk to professors. You don't say, Professor, you're wrong. You do not say this. You say, Professor, how do you explain? Or what would you say about, you know, you ask a question, therefore you're deferential, but you get the discussion on the table. And then when you're writing a paper or writing an essay question, you demonstrate that you learned what was taught. But then you argue with sources. So you say, Professor so-and-so has taught us that blah, blah, blah. The textbook says thus and thus. However, one might add the details that, da, 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 and then quote Descartes this and Newton's that, you know. Okay, so the point is history is very important. And if we don't understand history, we are taken advantage of, and we're taught things that are not true. This week in the news, the week of my recording, not the week of this being aired, a reporter, cute, well-spoken, excellent diction, a reporter on MSNBC was talking about far-right extremists in our nation and how, my gosh, they think that their rights didn't come from a government or from any man. Can you believe it? They think their rights came from God. And then the conversation went on. But this has been played, this clip of her saying this, being ranting politely, not out of control emotionally, but ranting and indignant. There's the right word. She's indignant that there are some Americans who think that their rights came from God. And it's played on a variety of news and pundit shows. And you know why? Because it's very clear that the people who wrote the Declaration of Independence thought their rights came from God. And it was vital, it was integral to their philosophy, because they were appealing to something higher than the king. A viewpoint, incidentally, which was born from the Protestant Reformation, You cannot understand America if you do not understand this. Now, you're free to have your own religious beliefs in the United States. So you can believe there's no God or there's many gods. But you do not understand America if you do not understand that the founders, in a very integral way, in our most important documents, clearly stated that our rights come from God. You can't read the Constitution without the Declaration, right? The Constitution alludes to the Bible 254 times. And it does allude to Montesquieu, and you can tell that they read Locke, but they grounded their philosophy, their thinking, in the Bible. And you cannot understand the American Revolution unless you understand the Great Awakening, which was a generation before that. You simply can't. But how did somebody get to a position of being a reporter? And she wasn't a field reporter. She's in the office of MSNBC, and she did not know this. What was she studying? Should have been in her fifth grade American history class and her ninth grade American history class, and could have been in her junior level Western Civ class, and it should have been in the American history class that she took in college. She hasn't had civics. She's not an educated person. So why is she on the news? History is important. History is important to a people. Mao Zedong said to his, in his philosophy, you take away people's history, you take away people's culture, and then you can control them. They don't know who they are. You just tell them what's true, and they will do what you say. So there was a tearing down of Chinese history for a long time. But they built it back up again in China because they realized they're proud of the best of their culture. There was a time when nobody would study Confucius, but they study him now. Because you get degeneracy if you don't value the values of your culture. In the Soviet Union, they tried to diminish the influence of the church of any kind. And it's possible that the Dukhobors were completely killed out, and certainly the Russian church was, the Russian Orthodox Church was greatly suppressed. And when the Soviet Union ended, Protestant churches sprang up. The Russian Orthodox Church was revitalized. Today, Putin, whether you agree with him or disagree with him, whether you think he's a boon to his people or ruthless dictator, doesn't matter. He's a strong leader, okay? And he's rational, contrary to what some people have told me. I think now we have seen him interviewed, we know he's rational. He has revitalized and partnered with the Russian Orthodox Church because it makes for a strong Russia. He built a church on the Air Force base. He's had pictures of himself doing some dunking in cold water on New Year's Day, but a priest was in the picture, right? He understands, the point here is he understands the value of traditional beliefs. He didn't pick Confucius, and he didn't pick the charismatic American church that's right there next to the Kremlin. No, he picked the Russian Orthodox Church to partner with, because that's rational. Because that's rational, okay? Even though Rick Renner's church is wonderful, But he didn't pick him, okay? Even if he's very successful, he picked the Russian Orthodox Church. So a people become strong based on their values. And they found those values in their history. And children are informed about that by the teaching of history. So STEAM is wrong-headed. Of course we should teach math and science, of course. But don't leave out history. And why are you even saying STEAM? If you say STEAM, if you say STEM, you are admitting that we have done a bad job with math and science. We always had math and science, as far as I can remember. Math, I think, was taught badly, right? Because it was taught in 2D and foolish methodology. But we always had math, and we always had science. So I don't know what the problem was. The problem was that our scores were low. And our scores were low because we're an anti-intellectual society from the 60s. So our high school kids weren't buckling down, and they weren't even presented with stuff. But we were not that way when we were colonies. We were an intellectual society in the beginning. Check out the letters that John Adams and Abigail Adams wrote back and forth to each other. You remember who John Adams was? Second President of the United States, but before that he was Mr. Committeeman par excellence. He spoke many times on the floor about the Declaration. He had a lot to hand to in the deliberation of the Declaration, and he was going around being a committeeman, getting these things done. He was on the committee to write the Declaration, but he left that to younger Jefferson because he was too busy with the committee work. And Jefferson kind of copied what Adams had done with the Constitution of Massachusetts. And Adams was very concerned with, we need a navy, which proved to be prescient. And he wasn't in the deliberations about the Constitution because he was over in Europe as ambassador, had plenary powers, meaning he could do whatever he wanted, because he was raising money for the revolution. Okay, so yes, he was the second president, but I don't think that was his greatest contribution. These others were even greater contribution. But anyway, because he was away from the farm, and Abigail was holding down the fort at the farm a lot, they wrote letters back and forth. Abigail was very embarrassed because she didn't get to go to school. She had been sickly as a child, and so she got a few lessons from her uncle. But take a look at those letters. Beautiful language and all kind of allusions to classical literature. She's embarrassed, and she's more educated than most of the PhDs I know. Seriously. So she ran a farm, she invested, she understood medical progress of the time, but classical literature and good judgment and knowing what was going on politically. So we were not an anti-intellectual country then, but we were in the 60s, and we are today.
And worse every year.
So that's the problem. That was the problem, why our scores were low. We have a really bad public school system. That's why our scores are low. So instituting STEM is not the answer. Instituting STEAM is not the answer. Just doing education better is the answer. And leaving out history is a red flag as big as a barn. Celebrate the victory.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
I want to get into your hands my book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Yes, it was written for homeschooling parents, but really it is written for all parents because all parents are responsible for their children's education. And that doesn't mean just reading, writing, and arithmetic, which is what our public schools were originally intended to teach, but we are responsible for teaching our whole child. And this book will help you address all of the needs of your children. It will help you make decisions about special needs. It will help you make decisions about which curriculum. It's an overall soup to nuts book. Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Come to the website www.greatshalom.org. GreatShalom.org. Get this book.
God wants you healed. That's right. Forget about why God may not want you healed. He does want you healed, well and healthy. And in Sharon Sarles' new book, God Wants You Healed, she shows you this from a biblical perspective. This new book is available now and can be obtained in either a downloadable format or in hard copy at www.greatshalom.org. That's www.greatshalom.org. And remember, God wants you healed.
Let me say here, just real quick, that I do have now a whole process, a good protocol to go through to be sure that you can address your children's problem. 12 episodes with lots of bonuses at greatshalom.org. Just look for the menu that says shop. Also have a book called Learn at Home for Great Shalom. It's soup to nuts to figure out what your specific child needs and what method to deliver, what content. It's mostly about your child's needs and the methods, and you should go through all of that before you choose a curriculum. Don't just go replicate public or Christian school. Do not do that. Do not just go and get the curriculum that worked for somebody else. Find out what your child needs and what delivery method works for them, and then you can go shopping. Learn at Home for Great Shalom. You can go to the website and click through, or you can go directly to, I think it's at lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. And you can get it either in electronic or paperback format. They'll print it and send it to you. Please do come to the website where you'll find many resources at www.overcominglearningproblems.org. And please like and share and tell your friends. They need to know about it. They think they're all alone. And this is the greatest treasure trove of resources I know about. Remember, what you invest in is what will pay you returns. What you sow is what you'll find a good harvest on. What you pay attention to is what will help you. OvercomingLearningProblems.org. Make use of the help right now. Right now, while it's free or low cost, because there is nothing like it. Nothing at all.